For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us on Cloudy with a Chance of Podcast. If you are watching us, thank you. And if you're listening, hello. We are back with another episode. Last week, McCall, we focused in on talking to experts about COVID-19 and the pandemic that we're currently dealing with. And you suggested that we kind of focus this week, not necessarily on really a science topic, but more a topic of human interest and the needs that our community is facing. And McCall, unfortunately, this is not just the Miami Valley. This isn't just Dayton. These are needs that every state, every city has organizations that their whole purpose is to give. And it's a lot more challenging to give and to continue your day-to-day operations when we are sheltering in place, basically.
Absolutely. I saw this story running on WHIO, our company and our station that we work for, about the homeless and how this pandemic is impacting them. And unfortunately, they wind up being the forgotten every day. And in this situation, it's way worse for them to be having to go through this. Imagine shelters and people, you know, having to be so close to one another, not having the medical needs in case they are getting sick. So that's what sparked the idea. But as you mentioned, there's a lot more that goes into this. And our guest, we've had her on before, and I'm anxious to hear what she has to say.
Yes. So Melody Bennett is the director of the House of Bread. And the House of Bread is a wonderful organization that we have here in Dayton that provides a hot, nutritious lunch every single day of the year. They do not take a break. They do not have a vacation. And what is interesting about the House of Bread, I've been able to partner with Melody many times, is that it's there for anybody who needs it. And sometimes you need a hot lunch. Sometimes you are paycheck to paycheck, and you just need a little bit of help that month, that day, and the House of Bread's here for you. So there's no judgment. And I do, Melody, I just want to say hello to you. And why don't you talk a little bit more, just briefly, if you have not heard our past episode with Melody, you know, you are it. So let's talk about what exactly the House of Bread is. You can give a little more detail than what I just did.
Oh, well, your detail was pretty amazing, Kirsty. But we are what's known as a community kitchen, where anyone in the community can come in and have a hot lunch with us any day of the year. There are no questions asked. There's certainly no judgments made. And this pandemic has really challenged us to treat people with respect and with dignity. Because it's very hard to do that when you're saying, hey, I'm happy you're here, stay 6 feet away from me.
Right.
Hey, I'm happy you're here, but I can't hug you. I can't touch you. And I think for the population of people that we serve, they typically kind of look to us for that verification of their human dignity, that verification of humankind and kindness. And when you can't express that in the way that you want to, it's very emotionally challenging.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, we're still offering people a lunch. Not offering people the extras in this social distancing. And, you know, when we started, you know, by the middle of March, that we knew we had a problem, you know, in our local community with COVID-19 spreading, and the schools were closing, and there's just this huge amount of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we originally wanted to keep doing exactly what we were doing, treating neighbors with kindness, treating our neighbors with respect, letting them come in and eat. We tried decreasing our numbers significantly, the number of people who were allowed in the building at any one time to eat. We then went to a hybrid where we would let 40 people in at a time throughout a large dining room, and we would take their trays of food to them. We eventually ended up, when the stay-at-home order was issued, we really felt like that wasn't a safe way to go about serving our guests, because when you're taking their tray, you're certainly closer than 6 feet. It's not like we were putting it on mechanical arms and sliding.
Right.
Really felt like that was not a safe model for the people coming in to need services from us. So unfortunately for us, and we really do take this seriously, we went at the beginning of April to an all carry out model for our guests who are adults, and went to that we could still let families come in our family dining room, but just a small number of people at a time. So for the first time in history of the House of Bread, people are literally standing outside our doors waiting to come in. And our model right now is that we have 10 people. Mm-hmm. We give them access to bathroom facilities. We give them access to fill up water bottles. And then they go through line one at a time to get coffee and to get a bag of food to go. And you know, I have to tell you, for our guests who are in homeless situations, it is not what they want from us. it is not really what they need from us. And so, you know, we're taking it very, very personally and seriously, and trying to look at a plan where we can safely, you know, kind of start transitioning back to where we can have our dining room open for our most vulnerable guests, who are our guests who are homeless currently. But I have to tell you, that's not tomorrow, as I wish it was. And we've, you know, while there's certainly a lot of gratitude from people who come in to pick up lunches from us, and we certainly try to make that a positive experience for them, there's also a lot of, you know, people expressing, you know, that frustration that, you know, just like for your listeners, you know, then, you know, you, everything about your life got uprooted the middle of March. Mm-hmm. Places that you used to go into and sit down for lunch, like the House of Bread, you can no longer go in and sit down. Places like maybe you went to the library for the afternoon and the libraries are closed. Maybe you, you know, had various places that you were able to obtain services, and all of those places are closed to you or have dramatically changed their services. So while, you know, we and our list and your listeners are very frustrated, I guess I would say, you know, try to imagine being in a homeless situation and every safety net that you thought you could rely on has changed.
Yeah. You don't even think about that, but you're right. Just some of those places that used to be the free spaces or the safe spaces that you could go are gone. I think also, Melody, what was interesting that you had mentioned before was, you know, not being able to provide that human like touch at the house, because you are so welcoming. You know, sometimes it's a hug or just taking someone's hand and saying, thank you for joining us. When I was grocery shopping, I had my mask on, like Dr. Acton asked us to do. And I even felt such a human disconnect, because I'd be trying to move around someone. I'd say, oh, excuse me. And they couldn't see my smile.
Yeah.
They couldn't see like that, you know, a smiling face. So it feels more welcoming and less like rude. So I can only imagine when you're so used to being able to say hello to your guests, and sometimes it's just a pat on the back or a hug to the little and things like that. And to have that kind of restriction or just trying to like work your way around that. I can only imagine how challenging that is for you.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I think the cutest example of this is we had a family that was coming in, and a mom with a couple small children, and, you know, trying to juggle them and everything. And the little girl, who's about 7, fell on her way into the building and cut her knee.
Oh,
she's upset. And, you know, right. She's sad. Mm-hmm. So, you know, mom asked me if we have some Band-Aids. And so I bring out Band-Aids, and, you know, I have this mask on and I have gloves on, and I have no idea how nurses do this. I mean, I finally got so frustrated. I said, you know what, just hold on a minute. And I ran to the bathroom. I washed my hands really good. I come back without gloves. I'm like, okay, now I can actually put a Band-Aid on your knee.
Right. You
know? And, well, you know, it was a small thing, but, you know, by the end of it, we were both giggling about it because I could not, I was fumbling with my gloves, simplest of things.
Right.
I have a question for you. So obviously you've always, you know, been providing these hot lunches. Now that, you know, schools did shut down, there were so many more families that depended on, you know, hot lunch at school for their children. And have you seen an uptick in the number of people needing? That's question one. And two, how do you, like you said, you're now unfortunately in a situation where you can't provide as much as you did before. So how's that going?
Well, we are attempting to provide what we can for people. It's very hard when someone asks you for something and you simply don't have it to give to them. I mean, it's heartbreaking. But I would have said up until this week that we had actually seen a decrease in the number of people coming to us. The last couple days, we've seen a pretty big jump. I don't know if that's people running out of resources elsewhere, or if people finally feeling or starting to feel like, okay, I've got to get out and get some resources for me, or I've got to get out and get some resources for my family. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we notice, like specifically with our families, is they don't tend to come in every day. They tend to come in one day and they're asking us for resources that they can take home to tide them over a couple of days. Mm-hmm. You know, we're a kitchen, not a pantry. But if I have a mom say to me, you know, Melody, I have cereal, but no milk. You know, if you could give me some milk, I could make it 2 days until I need to come back. You know, Melody, I have bacon, but I have no eggs. If you could give me a dozen eggs, I could make it. And so we've kind of been a little bit of a hybrid pantry. Not just giving you a bag of food, but saying, what do you need? What do you have and what do you still need? And trying to fulfill those needs as best we can. And it feels incredibly great when we can do that. And it feels incredibly sad when we unfortunately sometimes have to look at someone and say, I don't have that. I do this, but I don't have that. And just trying to help our families think through how they can stretch their resources, how we can get through this together, which is the phrase we hear a lot. But we try to say that to all of our guests, you know, how can we get through this together? What is it that you need that we might have? If that's a jar of peanut butter, if that's a pair of clean socks, mm-hmm. What can we do, you know, from a very simple perspective to help you get through this?
So the question is, what do you need, Melody?
Oh, yeah. That's a very good question. Well, and you know, we were asked by some people in our community a couple weeks ago to try to stop encouraging people to go to individual stores because they felt like, you know, when we would put out requests on social media saying, hey, we need individual jars of peanut butter, hey, we need socks, that there was a lot of sending people out of their homes when they were being asked to stay at home. And so we were asked, you know, would you ask for financial donations and you go out instead? The challenge that we are having with that, along with anybody else who operates a food pantry or a kitchen, really anywhere right now, is anywhere you go, your quantities are limited, what you can purchase. So, you know, for me to get jars of peanut butter, as an example, to get enough, I mean, I have to go to four or five stores to do that. You know, even places that we have traditionally relied on, you know, like a Sam's Club where you can buy in larger quantities are not selling in the larger quantities. Right. So we're getting to the point where, you know, and we certainly don't want to say, wow, if you have health issues, if you are not feeling comfortable, go out anyway for us. But we are starting to get to the point where we're saying, is it okay to start asking on social media for people to pick up things for us and just deliver it to our back door? You don't interact with us at all. Just deliver it to our back door, or hand it to us. And, you know, we'll write you a quick receipt, you know, to say thank you. Because, you know, we need diapers and baby wipes for kids. Those are very, very hard for parents to get out and find. We need the critically, you know, hard to find toilet paper.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I feel like when I'm giving somebody two rolls of toilet paper, I'm practically giving them
sticks of gold.
Yeah. People get very excited about toilet paper.
I'm sure.
Don't we all? I scored a big roll the other day at Target. I was really excited.
Well, I don't think that that's too much to ask. No. People, for the most part, they have to do their grocery shopping, whether right. they're doing, you know, a click list or going to the grocery store, having it delivered to their home. So if you have the forethought to think like, okay, you know, let me get one extra jar of peanut butter, or I already have a jar, but let me purchase one anyway. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I can, you know, and that way all I have to do is, like you said, just drive it, drop it off at the back door, you know, set up some kind of like food bin. I think that that's safe, and I don't think that's asking too much of people.
Yeah, and I do know we've had a couple people offer, like, you know, what is it that you need? And they are trying to coordinate an effort with their neighbors. So we're, you know, while they're, you say, you're already out shopping, pick this house of bread, drop it off in the porch, you know, on my front porch, and I'll take a house of bread in, you know, 4 days. And so we've seen some of that, and I think that's kind of innovative.
Yeah.
You know, so just one person's going to come by and bring us a whole box of stuff that we can really, really use, like those individual jars of peanut butter, like the small things of jelly, like crackers.
Right.
You know, sound like a really small thing, but they're huge if you're, you know, not in a position where you can access food throughout the day. Bottles of water, because we're doing carry out lunches. You know, we would normally serve you a beverage there, but having a bottle of water that you can then refill throughout the day, because it's critical that people have fresh water throughout the day. It sounds like a small thing, but it's huge. Again, if you're in a homeless situation, or if you have housing that maybe doesn't have all of the amenities that many people take for granted.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea to try to do organized drop-offs with your neighborhood. I mean, so many neighborhoods have Facebook groups where everyone can post and do that kind of thing. So yeah, if you can try to get that going in your own neighborhood and then drop it off at the House of Bread, that is an excellent idea. When it comes to grocery stores, Melody, because I know that you would oftentimes get donations from grocers of like things that were, you know, fruit that wasn't beautiful, but you guys can use it. And then you make whatever from whatever. I mean, it's so impressive. The amount of, I don't want to say it's random. The random ingredients that you guys get and make these delicious meals. It's insane. How has that gone? Are you still able to get that from the grocery stores, or are they pinched now too?
Okay. Well, I mean, I would be remiss not to do a shout out to Trader Joe in Kettering, and also Fresh Thyme in Beaver Creek. Who, you know, back, you know, middle of March when schools were closing, it was a different story. It was a little scary for about 10 days, but they have really stepped up and reached out to us and continue to send us donations daily. Some days are a little bit better than others.
Right.
You know, some days are a little scarce, and some days are, you know, you feel like you've hit the jackpot.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing how excited you can get over spaghetti sauce. But, you know, they have really gone above and beyond to try to help us. They've even called us and said, hey, what is it you're really, really short on? And we'll do what we can to try to send extra your way. So they really have been phenomenal. We've also been very, very lucky to get in some financial donations to help us, with also purchasing some food that we can use. So, you know, yes, it's a little up and down right now. Mm-hmm. This is a little bit, but it's a lot up and down right now, as far as donations go. And so, you know, we get to be even more creative in our kitchen.
It's very impressive. What about volunteers? Because your kitchen is run, I know you have a few staff members. Mm-hmm. How is that going?
Well, we had to decide, unfortunately, toward the end of March that we were going to suspend volunteer help in our kitchen, which is a tried and true model for community kitchens. You bring volunteers from the community in, they get the opportunity to learn what we do, much like you did a few years ago. and to really become engaged. And so when COVID-19 was rapidly spreading and we were getting daily news press from our governor and everyone, we really made the decision internally and with our board that we were going to suspend volunteers through the end of April. Okay. We have hired four college students who had experience at their colleges cooking
nice.
And home and lost their jobs on campus. And they have been pretty phenomenal young people helping us. Some days are a little harried.
Yeah.
Used to having, you know, 12 people in your kitchen and you suddenly have five, you know, trying to get everything together. It's a little harried. We have been fortunate a couple days a week in the evenings, we get help from a small group of chefs that are out of work right now. They call them Speed Dayton, and they come in a couple days a week. I think right now it's four. And they prep food for us for the next day, which has really been a wonderful partnership right now until we can get back to using volunteers. I will tell you, plan B is to hope to go back to volunteers by May 4th. Plan C, you know, I'm sure there's a plan D and E in my head somewhere.
Right.
But that has been, I think, really difficult for people who are used to volunteering with us. And honestly, too, for our guests, because I think they miss that interaction with people who came and were interested and cared and mm-hmm. and offered words of encouragement, offered words of support and kindness. And so I can tell you we're anxious for that to return, but we don't feel like we're in a position in our community where we can ask for that to return.
Okay. I did think of you and I, because I knew you guys were run by volunteers, and I just wondered, oh, man.
So yeah, it's been rough.
I'm sure. When it is there any sort of, I guess, is there like a governing body that like puts restrictions specifically, or is it like our charitable organizations and like community kitchens and that kind of thing? Are you guys just kind of taking the wisdom from what the governor said? Do you know what I mean? Like, is there a specific, like, no, you guys aren't allowed to do this anymore?
No, that's a great question. And I mean, we are deemed as an essential service. So I'm
okay, good.
Certainly allowed to do what we're yeah. doing. You know, we've communicated a lot with our local public health department. And okay. I will tell you that our local public health group has been great. They've been very responsive to our needs. They've stopped in. We have a public health nurse that normally comes into the House of Bread and talks with our guests. She's been in during this. She has spent some time talking with us and our guests and has really, you know, kind of been that person that we've said, hey, Nurse Heather, we're feeling this way. And she's been able to validate that and give us direction. And I really can't say enough good things about their response in trying to guide us. You know, there are no written instructions anywhere for how a community kitchen operates during a pandemic. We reached out to community kitchens, you know, honestly across the country that do what we do and said, hey, you know, what is your model? You know, how are you doing this? What are the guidelines that you're being given? And that's what led us to say for the month of April, we're carry out only. And then we'll reevaluate that at the very end of the month. So I think we're fortunate to have a network of people that want to support us in making sure that we're making the absolute best decisions that we can for the safety of the people we serve.
That's wonderful, Melody.
So how is the carryout working? Do people just come knock on the door? I mean, are they able to call? I mean, people may not have phones, yeah. obviously, but yeah. how are you organizing and coordinating that carryout?
The way we're doing it right now is we're open from 11 until 1. And so people come to our entrance on Negley and line up. We actually have smiley faces painted on the sidewalks.
For the space. Aww.
And then inside we have lovely blue tape spaces. It's lovely blue. we let people in 10 people at a time. And they go through the line. They're able to get coffee if they would like to get that. They're able to get a cup of milk if that's important to them. And then we're handing them a bag that has a hot lunch in it, that has a drink, hopefully a dessert, some bread, any extra fruit that we have. We're doing everything we can to pack that bag full of nutrition and some extra things that they'll need to get through the day.
Go ahead.
Until we serve everyone.
What about donations, or how are you guys doing with like the products to bag up these lunches? Because again, that wasn't something that you needed to rely upon.
No, I about fell over when I found out the price for carryout containers.
Yeah.
What? You know, and I really, from an environmental perspective, I hate all of the, you know, the foam containers and the cups and everything that we're doing. We just don't have a better way to do it right now. So, you know, we've had to purchase carryout containers, carryout cups for coffee. Bottled water is something we're purchasing almost every day to make sure that people have that, and extra things. So it's been challenging. Those carryout containers we can always use.
Okay.
You know, especially the nice 3-compartment ones that fold over nice and neatly. We've had people who have been very generous in supplying us with things like napkins and forks and spoons and smaller containers, things like that. We've even had a couple donors purchase food from a restaurant to support a local restaurant that they typically would patron, mm-hmm. and send that to us for lunch. And so that has been a really great idea as well. You know, if your listeners, if there's a restaurant that they normally go to, it's small, it's locally owned, they really want to help them, you know, reach out to us and we could coordinate, you know, getting, you know, 200 main servings from them. You know, and in the case of, you know, a couple weeks ago, you know, Mary, one of our donors, coordinated with Texas Beef and Cattle, and they sent us enough, you know, beef and chicken brisket, you know, for 200 lunches, and it was amazing.
Wow. That's awesome.
So, that's another, you know, in my opinion, opportunity that if someone has a local small restaurant they really want to support, you know, that's certainly something, and it doesn't have to be 200 servings, you know, whatever you're willing to do.
Yeah. That's a great idea though. Cause it does, it makes the connection where it's helping a local restaurant that can stay open and you're financially able to just say like, hey, I'm going to pay for these lunches. And then that restaurant gets the money and you guys get the benefit of being able to serve people that need it. So mm-hmm. it's actually really a creative, I never probably would have actually thought about
it. I know. It's a wonderful idea.
Yeah. I didn't think of it. The donor did.
Well, good job. She's great. As we are heading into summer, we kind of talked a little bit before this about how we were spared, I guess, from extreme weather this winter in the sense of your guests having to walk in some of the brutal cold we've had over the past several summertime. And that means that your guests will be having to battle the heat, that your kitchen, that you guys will be working in the heat. So is there anything, just looking forward, I think sometimes people want to have that mindset of like, we're going to get through this and mm-hmm. then we'll go back to our normal lives, and our normal problem in the summer is heat. So what can people do? I guess, can they supply you with anything that you can even just maybe use later? I know water bottles, that's a huge one for you guys in the summertime. You have the family room now. So I guess, is there anything like, I don't know, that the little kids would need, or I don't know.
No, it's a great question. And, you know, really, I want to look forward to things being normal again.
Right?
Don't we all? You know, reusable water bottles become really important.
Okay.
You know, because we don't want to hand out, you know, water bottles that are going to end up in the trash. Reusable ones that people can fill up in water bottles become really important as we head towards summer. Things like hygiene, you know, maybe putting together small hygiene bags for us. That includes something like a bar of deodorant, a small trial size of like shower gel become really important for people. When we start thinking about our families, I think it's going to be really hard for them to sustain resources like, you know, kid shower gel mm-hmm. and toothpaste and toothbrushes for them. You know, also if our kids don't go back to school in May, You've had kids out of school for a nice period of time, and they, you know, they need to be creative. You know, it's not just about teaching our kids to read. It's also teaching our kids, you know, how to use their minds creatively. So things like sidewalk chalk, I think, will become really important in allowing kids to express themselves and be creative. You know, simple things like coloring books or activity books, you know, just simple dot to dots or mazes that they can do, because our brains think differently. We're doing those, you know, simple things that they can do in a small environment, I think will become really important. You know, healthy portable snacks. You know, I mean, we all have small kids, you know, and who doesn't have goldfish in their pantry?
I do.
Right.
We do.
You know,
I'm trying to tame my daughter with it right now.
You know, absolutely. You know, those small things that your listeners might take for granted are in their pantries with small children are all things that our families will need, you know, to help them. And, you know, certainly there is a concern with kids at House of Bread and all of our kids that not being in school, you know, we'll put them, you know, behind when we go back in September. And so I think if we can just find ways to be creative with them, to sing with them, to play games with them, you know, hula hoops, you know, I am trying to think of simple, silly things that, you know, we all try to do with our kids.
Yeah.
Just to keep them active and to keep them learning in different ways than they would learn in the classroom, I think is really important. And hopefully we'll see some normalcy return this summer.
That's the goal.
Yes.
I mean, can I get normal life back?
Yeah.
Right now, my life is not normal at this present moment. For anybody that's listening, you should be watching, because the chaos with my toddler.
I was going to say, we've got McCall's daughter, Gia. She has been making some guest appearances in the back screen every now and then. My daughter, Margot, I've been monitoring her. She is currently taking a nap. So, yeah, this is our normal. Typically, you know, we have daycare or sitters and things of that nature. Being able to work from home is something that McCall and I, our newsroom, is practicing social distancing as well. So, you know, we're all definitely finding a little bit of normal in this weird time. And then eventually, I know we'll all get back to where we should be. But Melody, let's just real quick review for anybody who just needs a little help right now.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about what they can do to get to you. And then what do you want from the listeners that are fortunate enough to help in any tiny way?
Okay. Well, anyone who needs help, if you need help meeting basic resources when it comes to food or supplies for your home, you are certainly welcome at the House of Bread. We're on a tiny street called Fourth Avenue. We're on the other side of McIntosh Park off of Edwin C. Moses. We sound complicated to find, but we're fairly easy to find. Anytime between 11 and 1, you can come in to our building. Chances are good you'll have to wait outside for a little bit, but you can come in and get a hot lunch from us. If you have a family, you're welcome to come into the family entrance. You're welcome to eat in our dining space. Give us a couple minutes if we're running around crazy, and we'll take time to talk with you and see how we can help you. Our neighbors right next door are Catholic Social Services. They run a food pantry Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 11:30. That's also on the Orth side entrance. They're closer to West Riverview. They can offer you a box of food to take home with you. And they also have fresh fruits and vegetables that you can take home with you. If you're not close to that area or that doesn't work for you, if you are in need of help, I really encourage you to call 211, which is a help link operated by United Way. And they can connect you to resources that are closer to you. One thing I would say is this is okay to ask for help.
Yeah. We're
seeing, you know, unemployment rates that we haven't seen since, oh my gosh, 18 years ago. And so it's okay to ask for help right now, because at some point, hopefully you'll be able to pay that back, or maybe past you paid it forward. If you are listening and you can help, you are in a position where you're able to keep your employment and work from home, or you're an essential service and you're still going out, you can certainly help us through financial donations, which is houseofbread.org. And you'll see the donate button very, very nicely, prominently displayed. You can organize a collection with your neighbors of needed items that we've talked about, like bottled water, like peanut butter, like snacks for kids, socks, simple things, and drop that off to us once a week. We're typically there from 8:30 until 3 o'clock right now. I can tell you, as the weather gets warmer and we hopefully get back to normal operation, we'll be there a lot longer. Yeah. We're also trying to make sure that our staff takes care of ourselves and that we get rest and time off and, time to spend with our families so that we can continue to provide the services that we need to do. And it's really important to us that we try to take good care of the people who come in every day and care for our guests. With such dedication and such professionalism, even in this crazy time we find ourselves in.
That's wonderful, Melody. I think we've got a very strong community that has come together over and over and over again. So mm-hmm. I have faith that we will see those people step up and help yeah. you. WHIO.com, I'll make sure that I put some of the details, the links directly to the House of Bread right in the story. So if you're listening, you can visit our website and you'll be able to just kind of directly see some of the suggestions, Melody, that you just put in. And then if you do want help, I'll make sure that we include that as well.
And if you have any questions, of course, and you're listening or watching, feel free to find Kirstie and I on social media or email us, and we can certainly direct you to the right avenue, whether it's donating money or dropping off essential items to Melody. So we'll be sure to add that as well. As always, thank you all for joining us on Cloudy with a Chance of Podcast. If you're listening, you can download our podcast on the podcast app on your Apple phone, as well as on Google Play, Stitcher, and WHIO.com. If you would like to watch our vodcast version, you can see it on our streaming app that we have, which is can be found on Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Roku, as well as on WHIO.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, everybody.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.